You keep switching this off at different points.
I swear to God, I never touched that switch.
All right, you're good now.
I swear to God, I never touched that switch.
I'm actually inclined to believe you.
Why would I touch the switch? I'm Paul.
I'm Tony.
And starting off the Hometown Sounds podcast this week, it's Beast Edwell.
It's love. Maybe you should text her. This love, abbreviated letter. Look down and type until your neck hurts. Romance is retro as a record. We get in bed with the device. We fall asleep by the screen light. Sex is elusive on a good night. Netflix is fucking up my sex life. 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 I wanna buy a girl a necklace. I wanna make a girl some breakfast. I want to sell a million records. Come back and make a girl breathless. Real life, can't nobody hear me. Real life, the girls don't really feel me. Online, my picture is so pretty. Online, I'm better than the real me. Better than the real me. Take a picture of the good times. Let's take a picture in the good light. Let's make it look like a good night. Let's make it look like a good life. We get in bed with the device. We fall asleep by the screen light. Sex is elusive on a good night. Netflix is fucking up my sex life.
Okay, is that the end of the song?
Yes, it is.
Oh my God, because I cannot wait to talk about this. This is just ripe for discussion. Like, how does Netflix, like, fuck up your sex life?
Oh, if you bring the phone to bed, that's really bad, man. You can't do that.
What do you mean? Netflix on your phone?
Yeah, a lot of people watch shows and movies only on their phone. I know, I can't do that, but I know people that do.
Now, is this because, like, they may not have a TV, like a real TV?
Probably.
Okay.
But there's some people that read entire books on their phone.
But okay, so I mean, no, I was just thinking, like, Netflix, is it just because you're getting way too into the show?
Yeah,
that you're just like, nah. It's I don't want to get freaky.
Right. That's what Beast Edwell says. That song was called Netflix. It's from the EP Jaded Dark Love Songs. It came out back in January. That is defined as queer pop. That's what Beast Edwell defines that genre as.
Second consecutive episode of some alt sexuality, like, creeping into the mix.
I think not so much necessarily on that Netflix song, but on some of the other songs there, I sense a little Blight Records flavor. I think that the collaboration with Beast Edwell and some Blight would be pretty interesting. I wish that those totally separate cliques could merge and mash up. That would be pretty awesome. So in addition to being a musician, Steadwell is also a filmmaker with an MFA from Howard, and her thesis is a 30-minute short film called Vow of Silence. It's currently on tour, screening all over the place, including the Outfest Fusion in Los Angeles. That's happening, I think, this weekend. That EP also features Asha Santi from The Culottes. And we published a very, very long interview with Asha Santi conducted by our friend Ben Tufts a while back. You should check that out. I like that it was like, you know, how, like we were getting back to talking about this. I like how it's about how technology can get in the way of romance. Because it's a common thing. Or just even in terms of sleeping. You know, if you bring your phone to bed, I've been known to like hang out on Vine for like 45 minutes.
Really?
Oh, it's bad.
My new jam, the way that I approach my phone in the bedroom.
Oh, jeez.
That sounds dirty.
Yes, it is.
Actually, it doesn't come near my bed. It has to go on the other side of the room because it's also my alarm clock.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't want that right by my bed.
No, because, it's too easy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, also, my other new move is that I set like 3 alarms consecutively in the course of like the 35 minutes that I need to get up.
Yep.
So that even if I get up and turn the alarm off, I'm going to have another one coming at me. Because, I mean, like that's one issue where I will get up and turn an alarm off and then pretty much sleepwalking and then be late for stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I know that there are some alarms that like have you like figure out a math problem before it'll go off, before it'll like stop blaring in your face.
Oh, like, so we're getting into this like drunk email thing where you have to like answer a math problem exactly. Before you can get your email on. Yeah.
But if you want to hear more Beast Edwell and see that live, you should check out the Honey Groove Festival, which is DC's festival for queer creatives of color.
Niche.
And that's coming up on Saturday, April 9th at Blind Wino, along with Risa Renee, Boomscat, Ra the MC, and a lot more.
That's a lineup.
And I think wow, we are about the opposite of queer creatives of color. We are straight white guys. But like that festival seems really awesome.
That is mad cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul, so how do you feel about Jimmy Buffett?
Ooh, not good a lot of the time.
Well, that's who you look like in this week's episode art.
That is frightening. Yeah. So apparently the hot new thing now is face swapping. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but it's everywhere.
And this was your idea for episode art, being like, let's do some face swapping.
Yeah, let's do a face swap. And I thought we would just do, you know, a little crappy $1 iPhone app that would make it look terrible.
No. But
what do we do instead, Tony?
No, our best boy, Pat Frank, snapped a photo of us at the Beatles tribute show a couple of weeks back. What I think is absolutely hilarious about this photo, and you're listening to this, so I'm assuming that you can just pull it up. You can look at it on your phone right now. I don't think I'm really excluding, you know, listeners in terms of like visual content.
Right.
But we talked about haircuts last time. Mm-hmm. And that you're the guy who spends all the money on the fancy haircuts.
Yeah.
And you got slapped with my shitty haircut.
God. And it looks way more frightening on me.
Yeah.
Way.
No, it's like Gollum fronting a Jimmy Buffett tribute band.
Jeez.
But no, that Beatles tribute show, that went really well. I had some apprehensions just given the logistics involved, but that was pretty great. And you brought your dad there, right?
I did bring my dad. He'd never been to IOTA before.
Yeah. And what did he say? He was like, wow, it's pretty good. People try to sell it to Beatles.
It was good. Unfortunately, he had to kind of sit in the back because, you know, I don't know why I'd forgotten that like that would be a very popular, very well-attended sellout show.
I was mad sold out.
Oh, yeah.
There was a waiting list.
Yeah. Which IOTA will do, you know, that when somebody leaves, they will text you and let you know that you can come to the show, which I have done before. I do think maybe that, I mean, we all love IOTA. That show could have been in a bigger venue.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there were how many? We were 50 musicians.
Yeah.
So you just put 50 people, that's what you're starting with, just from the bands. And then you got significant others, you got some friends. And then, of course, you have people that heard about it and want to just check it out because it's a Beatles show. So it was really packed and it was very well attended. But yeah, my dad dug it. But like, yeah, it was, everybody sounded good. I'll tell you what he did say. He did actually say this. He was surprised at the quality of the musicians and the songs. And I was like, yeah, that's because we got a lot of really awesome musicians in this town and in that Ben Tufts world that put on that show. So it was fantastic.
For real.
So let's hear some more music though, Tony. What do we got next?
Next, we got new music from Blankus Larry.
I'm
You heard the man. Please don't let him lose his mind. New music from Blankus Larry. That was great. There is this deranged quality to Blankus Larry's music that I have just always appreciated. They make me giggle, 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 giggle. That's hard to say three times in a row. That is from their sophomore release, Problemo, which came out on February 5th. That is available on both Bandcamp and SoundCloud. Actually, I was reminded of this release because if you have been featured on this podcast before, then you received an email from me, and that was to plug a show that I am playing this Friday, and I got an email back from Bloody Larry in Blankus Larry being like, yo, cool, I'm going to try to make it. By the way, just want to remind you about this, about our sophomore record that just came out. So, like, it works both ways, you know?
Just dueling promos.
Just give and take. It's all good.
And everybody in that band is named Larry, right?
Yeah, there's a Dirty Larry. There's a Marion Larry.
Marion Larry, that's funny.
That's so great.
Bloody Larry.
Yeah.
They like to remain anonymous for some strange reason.
And you know, the thing is like James Colvin, who's in that band, who I met from Ben Tuff's tribute show last year for The Who, we performed on a song together. I don't know what Larry he is, actually.
Which Larry are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, we should give a shout out to the album cover art for that album.
Oh, it's great. They're really into like having these pieces of raw meat on their record covers. There's also a toilet with a frightened baby, and the toilet has, like, a jetpack on it.
There's a lot going on. The meat has roller skate legs.
Yeah, that meat could be an employee at Sonic.
So, yeah, please go take a very deep look at the cover art for that, and probably all the other Blankus Larry releases that are available.
It's all real good.
Yeah. So what do we got next on the podcast today?
Next, we got new music from a band called Jaws. I'm so
proud. We'll
Maybe You Did, the first of two demos from the release Two Demos by Jauze, and that is spelled J-A-U-Z-E. That is a new band from Ryan McLaughlin and two of his frequent collaborators, Eric Slight, who played with Ryan in Joy Buttons and who is also in Brer and Stronger Sex, and also John Scoops, amazing bass player.
Very recognizable as well.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Big beard, just fun to watch. I mean, to kind of see someone that burly be having so much fun, and he's not actually like punching you in the face.
He does have a lot of fun playing bass.
Yeah.
He played bass in Type Fighter with Ryan, so that's some good stuff there.
And what I love about this is, okay, I don't get Polyon, I don't get Joy Buttons, they're just not my kinds of bands, but I feel like Jauze, I feel like this band hits a great sweet spot that's like a middle ground between Type Fighter and those other two that are more like fuzzed out and really, really, really loud.
Yeah.
And I like that a lot.
That's good. That's good, man.
Yeah.
Hope you like that too.
I mean, Paul's talking to you right now.
Yeah,
not
you.
Me. I mean,
podcast
like,
listener.
I already told you that I liked it. Or maybe your short-term memory is just that bad. Whatever, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Paul, we went to a show last week.
Speaking of short-term memory.
Yeah.
Which may have been compromised by how ballistic you went at this show.
Yeah, that's... Yes, I did.
Yeah. So we saw We Were Pirates, the Black Cat, last Thursday night.
Oh, I lost my shit at that show.
You know, here's the thing about you losing your shit at that show. You were ready because you wore the shirt. You wore your Psycho shirt.
My American Psycho shirt.
American Psycho shirt. When you wear that shirt, you just channel it. Like, the expression on that guy's face is the expression on your face. Exactly. So it was fantastic.
Yeah. And so there was some sort of funny stuff that sort of happened. One is that I was up front singing along, kind of getting my groove on. I proceeded to drop a glass of beer.
Oh.
Did you see that?
I did not see that. I heard that it happened, but I did not see it happen.
Yeah. So I dropped this glass of beer and I tried to like shoo it forward with my foot because I didn't want people stepping on glass and stuff.
Sure.
But it ended up still being kind of slippery up there.
Okay.
And so I dropped the beer. I sort of did my best to get a makeshift cleanup.
Yep.
And then I tried to get my groove, my swerve on again. And then I proceeded to slip and slide around in the beer that I had just like dropped everywhere. And there was this photographer scooting around back and forth. And I was like, oh my God, now I've created a safety hazard for this poor photographer. Also, another thing, I proceeded to sort of run out and back and forth a couple of times because I placed a food order and I came back at some point with some sriracha sliders.
Oh God.
And I just think that there's just something so uncool about eating food at a show.
Especially when you're front and center.
I mean, it's such a dad rock thing to do. I know, but I was hungry.
It's like you didn't want to miss a second of this awesome band. And so if you need to eat dinner right in front of it, well, that's what's happening.
Yeah. Also, so I kind of knew that I wanted to talk about that show on this podcast.
Uh-huh.
And I was just taking notes on my phone about things that I wanted to talk about at the show. Because I almost ordered chicken tenders.
Uh-huh.
And I was just thinking about the word tender and like all of its applications. Like there's legal tender, a chicken tender, which is just a fried chicken strip, like, but they call them tenders. A tender is something that's soft. You might have a tender wound.
Yeah.
Like tender gets really like thrown around for all kinds of reasons.
Tender hearted.
Right. Yeah. I was sort of having a beer buzz muse session on the word tender during this show. So anyway, I had so much fun at that show.
It was great. Let's hear some more music.
Yeah. Okay. This is a band that I discovered called Honey Pot Canoe.
Perfectly sane between port and starboard, 'cause I look to the sky to see just what it delivers. Transmissions are sent, now I'm floating down the river. Everything slows down, everything slows down when you're around. Everything slows down, slows down when you're around. I like to blow smoke. on 7 days, headed back out west. Everything slows down, everything slows down when you're around. Everything slows down, everything slows down.
That is a group called Honeypot Canoe. The track is Drink My Way to You. That is for an album they put out last July called Radio Telephony. And I'm playing them in part because I saw them play like a monthish ago. They were opening for Jackie and the Treehorns at the Velvet Lounge. It was a show where they were playing as a two-piece, two guys with acoustic guitars. And it was way better than that kind of thing typically is. So yeah. Props to them there. Also, their lead singer dude has a really kind of cute Chris Pratt thing going on. He's just adorable. That's it.
They're very presentable.
Yes. Okay, so I get some real Oasis vibes from that lead guitar.
Yeah.
And it sort of reminded me of this section in Ian Svenonius' book, The Psychic Soviet, where he posits that Oasis is actually just Lynyrd Skynyrd reanimated as zombies.
Oh, God.
And I thought that that was a very biting thing to say. It was just funny. But no, I dig Oasis. I'm down with that. Also, I'm really ashamed of myself and my behavior that night. I was there to go see Jackie and the Treehorns, and they were up after that. And they were like finishing setting up. And I know as a musician just how stressful that can be.
Yeah.
Making sure all your stuff works, you know, up front. And I ended up being like more tired, and I wanted to go home. And I walked up to the main guy from Jackie and the Treehorns, and I said, like, I'm a big fan. And if you could play I Heart Myself kind of early on, like, that'd be great. And I feel so bad about this in retrospect. Then I I got on the metro a little while later. Then I fell asleep on the metro. You know, I live in Silver Spring, so I was heading in that direction.
Yeah.
But then I woke up at 3 a.m, arriving on a train at Shady Grove.
Oh, that would be the end of the line.
Yeah. So then I got an Uber from Shady Grove to Silver Spring.
Did you fall asleep in the Uber?
No, I did not. And I was, it was one of those, you know, experiences where I was like, oh my God, I don't even want to look at how much this costs.
No.
No, it actually turned out only to be like $20. And
all
I was,
right.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's what I have for Honeypot Canoe.
So having like no sequitur at all here, I wanted to run this idea by you, Tony. I've been thinking about this for a little while.
Okay.
I recently sat down with the Chunky Glasses crew to interview Fellow Creatures, who are amazing, and their album is coming out soon, and it's really, really good. And one thing that I really particularly liked about the Fellow Creatures is the album cover art. It's really, really good. And, you know, there are some bands that have pretty good album cover art, like the Blankest Larry we played earlier, pretty awesome. And the Fellow Creatures thing, I want that on my wall. I want that as a poster. I want to hang that up. So here's what I was thinking. Like, bands will press vinyl. They'll make cassettes. Maybe they'll make CDs. And, you know, I don't want any of that anymore. I love having no physical media anymore. But when you go to a show, you want to support
the
band.
Except for your room full of comic books.
Well, that, I do, yes, I still didn't even buy comic books. But in terms of music, I love all my music being digital. But I, you know, you want to buy something, you want to buy a physical product when you are at the show, you want to support the band. So this is my idea. Make a print of the art from the album. Make it like 12 by 12. Make it the size of a vinyl record, all right? print up like 500, 1,000 of those. That's got to be pretty cheap if you do it in those quantities. Sell it as the album, and on the back of it, you have the download code. All right? So that's it. You're buying the physical album, and all it is a flat print that doesn't take up any space at all. You can hang it on the wall. You can enjoy it. You can be reminded of this release. You can play it. You can't play the thing that you bought because there's no actual music on the physical piece of paper that you bought. But most people, when they buy the record, when they buy the cassette, they're not listening to it. They're just listening to it digitally.
I'm into that.
And wait, here's the killer idea, dude. This is the killer twist. On the back, there are two download codes.
Oh.
Yeah. So you give one to a friend. And then the word spreads because you don't need two download codes. You just need one for yourself and the one to share.
I'm into great job.
So I had this idea and it's like, well, why don't you keep that idea and make money off it? No, I don't want to make money off this. I want this to happen in the world. I want bands to do this. I don't want bands to press vinyl or make cassettes. I want them to just print the awesome album cover art and sell that directly.
I'm gonna add one amendment
all
to
right.
your idea.
Yeah.
And that is that there is adhesive on the rear corners so that you don't have to worry about hanging it and the adhesive like doesn't mess with the paint on your wall.
Yeah. Well, and wait, I'm going to blow your mind right here, dude. Are you ready? The super deluxe edition of the album is a fracture.
I don't know what a fracture
that's,
is.
They advertise on podcasts. It's like when you print photos directly onto glass.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's like not just a print. It's like etched glass with the photo on it, with the album cover art that you could hang right there.
Oh, you know, I was thinking of something like you put your gravy boat on or something.
No, no. So, yeah, I mean, you know, how beautiful do you want this to be? You know, if you want this to be like the $100, you know, super deluxe, beautiful hang on the wall edition. So anyway, that's my idea.
Yeah, that's what I want. Super fans out there.
Yeah, there are plenty of super fans out there. You could even do it as like a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo or something like that, you know, the pre-order. So that's what I want bands to do. Somebody try this. Somebody try. And like, how easy would that be on tour to not have to lug vinyl to sell? You just have a big stack of these things.
That's
it's
cool.
Easy. Easy.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Nice job, man.
All right. So somebody do that, please. And we're going to play some more music. This is a brand new song from Brutalism. Thank you. That was Brutalism with their brand new song called Amulets. That is Zach Carter, Gavin Holland, and Benjamin Bruno, who lives up in Boston, putting that together.
And what I absolutely love about Brutalism is that they have a complete absence of seriousness in their public persona. They draft very strange, obtuse statements in press releases and in responses to interview questions.
Yes.
In discussing how we should think about their band, they said that the best way to understand Brutalism is to view it as a non-hierarchical music collective with authoritarian tendencies. All of our ideas belong to each other and all carry the full force of sonic law. And about this song, they said that we wanted to expand our horizons to encompass death itself. Because if you can capture death in song, you can defeat it.
I love that. So Brutalism, that is the first of several singles that Brutalism is going to put out in 2016. And they plan to perform again later this fall. I'm impressed because the first couple of Brutalism songs, Friday Night Home Invasion and New Empire, they were very dance floor oriented. This one was much more like synth pop. Like, this sounded like a New Order song to me, and in a very, very good way.
Yeah, no, they didn't have the whole reckless abandon of Friday Night Home Invasion in terms of just focusing on the fun.
Mm-hmm. So I think that there's going to be some interesting stuff coming from Brutalism. And that almost takes us to the end of this episode of the Hometown Sounds podcast. And thank God, because I'll be honest with you, we had a hard time today. I don't know what it is. Sometimes we sit down and we have like a ton of great stuff and it's just like, well, what's the greatest of the great? We dug through some stuff today. We dug deep into the mailbag to find some good music for you today. And we found a lot of music that did not move us. And so we did not play it for you. But we played you some good stuff and I hope that you liked it. So please subscribe to this podcast in iTunes, your favorite podcast app. We're on all the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's at Hometown Sounds. The email address is dj@hometownsoundsdc.com. The website is hometownsoundsdc.com. A lot of music videos up there, podcasts, interviews, lots of great stuff. But really, the important part is that you support the musicians you've heard on this podcast by buying their music.
And seeing them play live.
All around town. One last song for you on the Hometown Sounds podcast this week. This is Terracotta Blue. We featured Terracotta Blue a couple times before. He is also half of the duo Parkway, PKWY, with Emily Ahrens, producer from Silver Spring. It's sort of classified as hip-hop, but it really goes kind of a ways away from that. He's done some beats from other rappers like Super Nike Nando and a lot of others, but I really appreciate the instrumental stuff where it really kind of goes crazy. So this is the B-side from the single Stronger that just came out. It is a free download on his Bandcamp. And the other thing that I appreciate about Terracotta Blue, he puts out a lot of stuff. Like every couple of months, there's something. There's a new single, there's a new EP, there's a new album. That guy is prolific. He's a lot going on. And it is worth following. The song that we picked for you is called Dirge. It's cool. It's got like a funky beat and swirling vocals that remind me of Moby in a good way because I love that little bald vegan dude. So thanks very much for listening to the Hometown Sounds podcast, everyone. Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Paul.
And we'll see you next time.